One more time, Lord, we have gathered in your presence. And Lord, you have come in the worship, and we do thank you. It is not a light thing, my God, when you come. We just thank you for your presence. We honor you tonight, Lord. We have sung, "Have your way." Lord, we want your way. We declare your way is life. Your way is the only life, Lord, for us and our families and this nation. Lord, I pray that you would have your way in this word. I pray, Lord, no unnecessary word spoken. I pray, Lord, your heart be spoken. I pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just by a sweep of your spirit, O God, you would completely open our hearts, Lord. Lord, lift the weariness, lift the distractions, lift the irritations, lift all, O God, that would hinder what you would do. My God, I thank you tonight that you are so faithful and you are so good, that you love us so much. That's nothing but the blood, Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus, oh God, is what cleanses us and makes us acceptable in your sight. I thank you we don't have to stand here tonight in our own righteousness, but we are accepted and beloved of you, oh God, because of the blood of Christ. We thank you tonight, Lord. We thank you for this incredible life and love and light that is in our midst, Lord, because you loved us and you gave yourself for us. So have your way tonight, Lord. Have it completely. And we will give you all the praise. We will be changed when you have your way, Lord. And we say thank you for that in advance. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. It's rare that I get a title for a message without a message. And the Lord gave the title, "A Woman of an Excellent Spirit," at the beginning of this conference, but there was no message behind that title. And when I left after this morning's sermon, message, visitation, I went home, and this also happens very rarely, but it was like my pen was just writing a message. And I maybe have thought what a woman of an excellent spirit, I may have thought in the back of my mind, I think I know what this would be about. But it's like an unseen hand was guiding this pen and was writing this word. And I know like I know that this message is for someone tonight. I pray it's for many, but I know it's for one. And I think that there is no greater need in this nation, indeed in any nation, but there is no greater need among the women than to have an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. And that is not, when I say that, I do not mean a woman who does everything right. By an excellent spirit, I mean that the Spirit of God is upon this woman, and he is taking her to a place in him that is so not impacted by the things around her, but she's being kept in a supernatural way. And that this woman of an excellent spirit knows the secret of how to keep this liberty and joy and freedom and tears and all that makes us women, all that contributes to our beauty, that something happens in her spirit, and there is a life-giving fountain, and she's found it. And her spirit is nourished by these living waters. And it's not that she's not subject to everything else that every other woman in this nation is, but there is something that she has tapped into. And it's putting a countenance upon her that is actually making her so different. People, she's a woman with a clean spirit and a woman with a compassionate spirit. She's a woman of beauty that people are drawn to. She is safe, and wisdom is her sister. And she is able to have family secrets with this sister. And in her is the law of kindness. But there is a discernment and a beauty and a strength. There's something about this woman. And I found the key in the most unusual place, a place I never thought I would find, the key to the flowing of this river for women of Ireland to have an excellent spirit. And if you would turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I believe the Lord has shown me a verse here. In 1 Timothy 2, one verse, verse 8. I will therefore that men and women, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. And when we break this word down, I would just like to offer this word as the Lord gave it to me. Offer this verse as he took me through this verse to speak to women about an excellent spirit. It says to pray in part of this verse, to pray without wrath. And that means a mind freed from anger. That it is impossible to pray otherwise. That a woman who can pray has tapped in. A woman who is drawn to prayer, not prayer she does on her, something by her back, but she is hungering and thirsting after Jesus because she's confronting real life situations around her and in her heart. And she's being drawn to prayer. And the Lord is saying, we need to pray without wrath. We need a mind freed from anger. And we need a mind free from the desire to punish others who have done us wrong. We need a mind free from the desire to punish others who have done us wrong. And when we want to live for Christ, we will take fiery darts. They will come. And the interesting thing is that they're fiery and they're darts. They pierce and they burn. They come with like a double hurt and pain. And I was thinking about this and I was saying, Lord, what are you saying here? And the Lord is saying that there are so many, you wonder when when we go to pray and we see the Lord seems distant and we seem shut down. It's because we can't move past something in our spirit. And it's like we try to pretend we can pray, and we will pray the list, and we will pray for others, and we will pray for a blessing. But there, this vital prayer that will feed our spirit and cleanse our spirit and really move us to a place where God can speak and God can lift the burden and God can take something out of our spirit and change our countenance, is because we're not dealing with what the Lord is saying here. You have an anger in your spirit, and there is an offense given, and that there is this ability to want to punish and see others who have done us wrong sort of get theirs, want to be able to justify our position. And in John 8, when Jesus confronted the woman caught in adultery, you remember the story. You know what he does is there's these men with stones, and they've caught her in the very act, and they've got these stones, and they want to stone her. And Jesus comes and he inserts himself as a barrier between her and these with stones. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?" But actually, there were plenty of men that condemned her. There were plenty who had taken up a stone. There were plenty with a grievance against her. You see, the scripture tells us plainly, they weren't concerned about her and her act. They did this to tempt Jesus. They took a woman and they humiliated her and they brought her in this circle. All not because they were concerned about the purity of Israel. Not that they were concerned about the morals and the lust problem of the nation. They did it tempting Jesus because they thought, you know, we've got him here because the law of Moses says stone her, and the law that he's preaching says seem to forgive her, and what's he going to do about it? And it seemed like now they had a case, and they could take someone, yes, who was sinning, but yes, they were going to take a woman, and they were going to humiliate her and take the stones and beat her down, and they bring her in front of Jesus thinking they've got him through her weakness. But his presence and his word forces them to drop those stones and leave. And he says, woman, where are your accusers? Where are they? Does no one condemn thee? And she said, no, there's none left, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn thee. I understand what this whole situation, I understand more than you know. I understand what was motivating all this. I am for you, but nevertheless, I have this to say to you. Go and sin no more. And beloved, can I say to those that there have other people who have done you harm? There are people who have taken those stones. There have been the humiliation, there has been the anger, there has been things that happen, and they are mounting in your spirit. But God says, don't think I don't see, and don't think I know the whole story, but I have this to say to you. I am for you, but go and sin no more in your spirit. And when we think about it, he was saying, Lord, well, when you're telling her, go and sin no more, go where? Go back to the same conditions, and go back to the same neighborhood, and go back to the same people, and go back to the same whispers. Go back to the very place where it looks like you were humiliated, you were brought to a place, even in your sin, of where it seemed way outside the punishment. You have to go back there and sin no more. What an amazing thing. Go back there. And don't commit adultery anymore? I highly doubt it. Humiliated publicly that way. I don't think the issue of adultery would be the overriding sin in her life anymore. No, he was speaking to what was going to be her overriding problem. It was going to be the returning and the resentments and the bitternesses, the anger and the hatred, and that very sense that this whole place created the way I responded and the way who I am. And there are people, there are women here, and God understands. He says, you know, you have been the victim of spiritual abuse, and you have been the victim of sexual abuse. But can I say to you lovingly tonight, the Lord is saying, God says, I know that and I am for you, but you cannot pray that will give you that excellent spirit, lift your countenance, that I may have this relationship with you. Don't pretend you have something you don't, because in your spirit you have anger, you have resentments, and you can't let it go. And Jesus is saying, go and sin no more. Go back to that place. But I go with you. And the only way that you will not fall into this sin that will defile your spirit and misshape you and cause you never to know my glory or show my glory, never to be a woman of an excellent spirit whose countenance radiates a peace that it is well because Christ fights for me. No, you're still fighting the battle of resentments and bitterness and anger. You go back to the very place that seems to have been your entrapment, and it's like you can't rise above it. And it sits on you, and the abuse and the spiritual abuse and everything. God says, I know all about it, but I go with you. Now go and sin no more. I will cleanse you. As surely as I was a barrier that your physical life would not be taken from you, I will be the barrier that your spiritual life will not be robbed from you. That you will not succumb to the resentments and the bitterness and the anger. You will not replay in your mind the abuse over and over, the conversations over and over. I will not allow it. But you must go and sin no more. You must come now and I want to give you that excellent spirit, and this is the way to it. This is the way to it. He says, I forgive you and I go with you, but you have to return. And there has to be another spirit now possess you. And beloved, this is impossible. I'm talking impossibility except for Christ, aren't I? I'm talking about something returning and with another spirit upon you. I'm talking about being cleansed by his blood and filled with a power, and the only power that can cause us to rise up and break out of the strongholds here. Break out of the strongholds, because he says, go back where you came from. And unless Christ visits us, it is impossible. But he's saying it is possible. That's why he told her. He did not tell her the impossible. He says, go and sin no more. But as surely as I was that, I saved you. I will save you again. And I will save you again. And I will save you on a daily basis of succumbing to becoming a withered and resentful woman, unable to radiate what I created you for. Where there's a strength in a woman's soul and a beauty in a woman's soul, that even though she has been a bruised reed, she will not be quenched. That I will visit her. And I know what I'm doing when I'm telling her the sinning in this area must stop, because it's going after the life in you, the precious life in you. And you are going to return able to pray, freed from the anger and freed from those that have done you wrong. You will be able to do it. And the more we stand out for Christ, the more we will be earmarked, the more we will receive the fiery darts. And God says, I will cause you to be triumphant. It doesn't matter what comes against you. Nothing shall prosper. For there will be healing in my presence. There will be healing in your prayer closet. There will be healing. If you will just admit and be terribly honest, I am hurt. I am angry. I have been spiritually abused. I have been physically abused. I have been abused. And God says, I know. But we're going to get this out of your system, because I'm going to forgive you, and then you're going to forgive. And a cleansing river is going to flow. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmity. And that's why we're going to go boldly to him for it all. And the most important thing is that we pray honest prayers. We have to be able to admit. You have to be able to talk to your best friend. You have to be able to talk to your lover. You have to be able to talk to the one who comes to comfort you. But you have to be honest. You have to really say how it is. Like I said this afternoon, my friend, when she prayed this prayer, God, I don't like her, and you know I don't like her. And I like not to like her. Another part of a woman of an excellent spirit is she's lifting up hands. And a woman of an excellent spirit is lifting up hands. This is a very costly part of the prayer. It's about the surrender. What happens when the Lord takes us to a place our flesh doesn't want to go? That will happen because we're being women of another spirit. When we're young in Christ, you know, it's like we've got the Holy Ghost wind in our sails. Everything we pray for, and it seems like we're carried by the Spirit, and it seems almost easy. But then in our growth, it's all of a sudden, it's like our wills get crossed. And the Holy Spirit actually takes us to a place our flesh doesn't want to go. That we may know the power in Christ to die to it. But usually we die like in those barroom scenes, you know, those tacky movies where somebody dies and then they fall over the railing and they land on the bar and they crash all the glasses and roll on the floor and stagger up and fall over the chairs. Have you ever seen one of those? It takes forever to die. It just goes on and on in the movie. They just won't die. And our flesh is a little like that. It's more than a little like that. And a woman of an excellent spirit It is a sacrifice to lift our hands in a glad surrender. Usually doesn't start out a glad surrender. And Lord, it's like Peter. I have to stretch forth my hands out here and be led to a place where I know I'm going to die. But it's a good thing. And this surrender, we actually are forced now to live an exchanged life. See, because we don't want to live the life we're living. Have you ever been there where you don't want to be living the life you're living? It's actually very common. Not very often spoken about, but commonly lived. Because there's a season when we say, God, I want a real prayer here because you truly come through in a real prayer. So in my heart, I lift up by faith my hands and say, God, if I could run, I would. And if I could fly away, I surely would. But since you've chosen to nail my foot to the floor here, and since now I'm at this point, Lord, when it becomes a glad surrender, we just stay because love keeps us there. There's a song that said, why did they nail his hands and feet to a cross? Love would have kept him there. And that's what an honest prayer does. This is real praying now. It rarely happens in church and it rarely happens in a group. It's sort of like in between a very busy life, we get confronted with life in our own heart. And it's like, oh God, help me. I can't. I don't want to release her. I don't want to let this go. God, if I could move, could I minister anywhere but here? Could I not serve here? And if they ask me one more time to serve in that place, everything in me says no. And you, my daughter-in-law, my future daughter-in-law, who will be my daughter-in-law 4 weeks, glory to God, she'll come home from work and she'll go, and then I said to them, if you say that to me one more time or ask me to do that, I'm just putting my foot down and I'm not doing it. I'll go, Julie, did you really say that? Well, no, I didn't, but that's what I wanted to say. She never not once says it. Oh, we are so like that. But this is a real relationship with God where we really say what we mean, where we really say, Lord, you've got to teach me to raise my hands and surrender, for you have a purpose for this. And it's going to be an exchange life where I'm living in a place right now, you know, I don't want to be living. But God, I exchange right now my disquiet for your peace. And God, would you give me joy in this place? Could you somehow visit me today with satisfaction? Could you somehow come and just take the churning out of my stomach? And would you just give me peace in my mind for today. Could I have an exchange life, please? Your life for what I have. And there's something so powerful in this. It's so difficult because it's so costly. And when you've learned it, you draw from it for a lifetime. And you've got authority in your words, because when you look in another sister's eyes and you recognize the same thing going on, your words have power. You're not just, you know, Amy Carmichael wrote that beautiful poem where it says, you know, she was writing a poem because she was sick for years upon years. And she started to write letters and poems for other people who were sick. And she said sometimes when well people wrote her a letter, it was sort of like the butterfly preaching down at the toad who had to live in the rut where the harrow was going by. You know, where the, for Americans, that would be the combine, the thing that eat plow. Sort of like the butterfly preaching down to the toad that it always has to live in danger of, will this thing overtake me and slice me in two? It's a butterfly preaching contentment to the toad. But beloved, you will not be a butterfly preaching contentment to a life that right now is in a rut. Oh no, there will be power in your words. You will have fire words. You will be a woman of an excellent spirit. You will be someone safe and you will be someone compassionate. You will have a word in season and you will bring such life. This is a woman of an excellent spirit, you know, and it's not so much what she says, but there's a way that she walks, that she's been through the fire and she's been through the flood. And there's something of life that, hasn't been taken from her, hasn't been robbed, hasn't been burned out, hasn't been flooded out. There's something that is powerful and has lasted. And this prayer, you know, I just want to say one more thing about people who live in a surrender. They lift up hands in that position of surrender. When you are in a very hurting place, and by faith you raise your hands, you start to see things, and you start to see people you've never seen before. It's sort of like suffering opens our eyes to invisible people or things that were invisible to us before. And we begin to see people, and this we're not offering them fluff anymore, but a real experience in God that's bringing light. And then I want to say that it says, lift up holy hands. A woman of an excellent spirit is beginning to pray this prayer. In 1 Timothy 2:8, she's praying this prayer. This is how she's judging her prayers. Are they real? Are you taking the anger out? Are you taking where I build the offenses up? Can I surrender to what you have for my life right now? And then it says, lift up holy hands. And beloved, there has got to be, and there is a point where we say, Lord, I thank you. I can pray, like we said today, on the worst day of my life. I can pray and I can have access on the worst day of my life because these are holy hands. You've made them holy. You've touched me and your holiness lives in me. It is you that is drawing me to prayer now. You're not going to cast me away. God, you've given me a relationship where I have access to the throne because you've given me your holiness. And this is where I say, God, I thank you. I do have a new life. It doesn't matter. I take it by faith now that you say that I am separate, that you see me as like no one else on the face of the earth who is not saved, that I lift up holy hands because you've touched them. Oh, God, and you know that when I pray now, you're going to guide me out of any deceitful prayer, any prayer, oh, God, that's self, any prayer that is other than what you want for me. God, I thank you that I can pray holy prayers because I'm lifting up holy hands. You gave me a holiness. You're going to direct me into a right prayer. You're going to direct me into the highest prayers. Oh, we can do that. And this takes a split second. This is not, you know, where we have to shut away into a room because the scripture says that we pray everywhere. This is a prayer that we pray throughout the day. This is times and places we're drawn into prayer and we can lift up holy hands. And beloved, when you feel the most unholy, that is when it's our privilege to lift up holy hands and say, Jesus, you have made me accepted in the beloved and I'm being heard right now. I'm being heard right now because Jesus Christ has made a way for me to be heard. Father, you've stopped everything and you are listening to me now because I'm lifting up holy hands. And it reaffirms the real relationship we have with Christ. Not the fake one where we think if I'm having a bad day, he probably won't hear this. He probably won't answer this. He probably won't move in power. No, that's usually when he moves the deepest. It may not be the most satisfying to us, but we have to learn as eyes of faith. When I lift up holy hands, I defeat the devil in a more powerful way sometimes than I ever know. Because he's no match for the blood of Christ. He's defeated every time at the blood of Christ. And we lift up holy hands. And that's our privilege to do so. And also, too, you know, the holy hand speaks to me of the separating that goes on in your life and my life. I don't know, sometimes it's hard to feel separate. It's hard, you know, maybe to stand out and realize we are peculiar people. Sometimes, you know, we want to just blend in. Sometimes it's just like, Lord, do I have to be a Christian in this supermarket? You know? At this hair dryer, this girl annoys me the nth degree and she's just so unholy and look at those tattoos and do I have to be separate here? You know? And we just don't want to be because separate implies that we can't blend in and that we actually have to, you know, consciously say, Lord, just bless her. Lord, change my heart. I've got a really bad attitude about people with tattoos. I have a really bad attitude with people with bad attitudes. And that drives me to no end. And all of a sudden my superior, you know, holy self comes out. Oh my goodness. That is we are so moving in the opposite spirit of Christ. And it's like, Lord, sometimes we don't like the separating, you know, the sense of holiness, because holiness is not what we are. It's who Jesus is. It's altogether other from us. But he says, I've come to make you a separate people. I have come that you move in the opposite spirit. And I want you to be separate. And there's going to be times that I'm going to quicken you. I'm going to say, no, I want you to pray and I want you to smile. I want you to be gracious. I want you to be able to give you now. I liked what a sister shared with me. This thought about a bondage-breaking smile and a bondage-breaking hug. You know, it's so much what we don't say. But a woman of an excellent spirit, she's speaking all the time, sometimes with words. And it's like moving in this opposite spirit. God, you call me to be different in everyday places. And Lord, help me to know, Lord, that is part of my impact on my world, is when I embrace it, when I don't run from it, when I'm not ashamed of it. But when I say, Lord, just gather me into your heart now. It's so hard to step out there. In church, I feel so strong. But when I step out there in the marketplace, I seem to shrivel and shrink, and my testimony seems to wither. Where I seem to need their acceptance and their approval. But women of an excellent spirit, that's being broken off us, little by little. Not that we're preachy and sanctimonious. No, we all know that is like as refreshing as a mouthful of sand. No, it's like embracing this separateness, what it means. And it's like, I've had to say, Lord, you know, I guess it means sometimes I just like to slip in anonymous somewhere and just like not have to be the Christian. Especially if you're known to be a Christian, you know, can I go somewhere and I just take the burden off and take the weight off? And the Lord is saying, you know, I have something in this separateness, that if you would just, when you find it the hardest to be the most separate, if you would just call on me at that moment, and I will come and I will assure you, the greatest thing in your life is that you are separate. There is going to be a radiance come in if you'll just embrace it, if you will not run from it. What separates you from others is really what's going to be your glory in the end, and your testimony and your door open to speak to people. So we're going to lift up holy hands. It's like, Lord, in your prayer time, God, show me how to go in and out among the people. And then finally, to lift up hands without doubting. To pray without doubting. When I was a young Christian, every time I dropped to my knees, my head dropped. And I kind of murmured into the cushion or the couch, you know, oh God, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I've missed you here and I've missed you there. And I just went into a long litany of where I never thanked him. I didn't come into his presence praising him. I just felt so unholy and unworthy and where I was missing it all the time. And I thought that was a holy prayer. I thought, you know, really, but I really know I'm a sinner and I really know I need, you know, how far short I fall. But the longer I walk with the Lord, I realize that this issue of doubting really rests on trust. And where I really understand that love trusts. And I really begin to understand that when I come in to a prayer closet, that I may truly be a woman of an excellent spirit, that I have to begin to declare my trust and my love for him. And many would say, you know, true, but I really need that assurance that Jesus loves me, that God loves me. But may I say, my sisters, something we all know, that every time we are reminded of the cross, that forever settles it whether he loves us or not. The cross is the only and the final word. Does he love us? He loves us. He gave himself for us. No, you see, I'm beginning to find that a woman of an excellent spirit begins to say, Lord, I love you, Lord, because. And Psalm 116, you can turn with me there if you like, is a prayer that we can start to pray no matter whenever we start to pray, if that makes sense. And Psalm 16:1 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. I love you, Lord. And you know something? We accept and trust by faith he loves us because there's a cross and we've been given a new life. But you know, we have to rehearse sometimes for our own ears. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, because you've been so good to me. You've been nothing but mercy to me. I love you, Lord, because you're ordering my steps. I love you, Lord, because you want me to become a woman of an excellent spirit, and you're showing me the way into this fountain of life where this deep waters flow in me, because I'm drawn to prayer. And Lord, it's an honest prayer. And God, you're dealing with everything in my spirit, and I don't have to hide from you. I can be totally honest about everything. I love you, Lord. I love you because you hear me. That there's nothing too little and there's nothing too big. There's nothing too petty. There's nothing too awful. There's nothing too disgusting that you don't love to hear my voice. Even when I don't have the words, even when I'm so confused myself, I'm going to run. I'm going to say, I love you, Lord, because you're hearing me right now and you care. I love you, Lord. And I'm going to rehearse it in my ears because it's true. And I'm going to say it out loud, and I'm going to say it to the devil's ears. I love you, Lord. And I'm going to say it to my family's ears. I love you, Lord. I'm going to say this. I love you, Lord, because you're worthy. I love you because you hear me. I love you because you are with me. And beloved, we're going to start praying these prayers of faith that he hears. He hears us. That we're going to go home and he hears. I love the Lord because he hears my supplication. He hears me. When nobody else hears me, he pays me the ultimate listening to me. He pays the ultimate compliment of listening to me. He hears us. And a woman of an excellent spirit begins to know, Lord, I'm going to start getting very specific in my prayers because you hear me. I'm going to put my faith right out there. You hear me. I'm going to start being very specific, and I don't have to broadcast what I'm praying for. But Lord, I believe you hear me. You are with me, and you want me to become a woman of confidence and of true faith, not where I sound a horn before me. But I begin to pray very specific prayers, and I know you hear me, and I'm starting to look now for your answer. I'm starting to be so confident. You are so real, and we become a woman of an excellent spirit because this is the truth with us. A friend and I went to visit a young man in a hospital bed, and he was been lying in an emergency ward for a couple of days in pain. And we just looked at him, and our hearts were so moved, like a mother's heart. He had so little attention, they couldn't give him painkillers because they were afraid what it was going to do to his brain. And it was like we just held his hand and we said, God, would you please give him his own room where he can at least sleep, where they don't toss and turn beside him because it's so noisy, he can't even sleep there. God, give him his own room. That afternoon, he had his own room. And it's like, Lord, I want that. I want to pray specific prayers. Your word says that you hear me. And a woman of an excellent spirit knows that God is with her and he listens to her. And he is moved by her prayers. And then it, no matter what was in our heart, Lord, I just ask you, would you please, Lord, just open the eyes of this one. Would you just let me minister grace? Would you let me be a word in season? Would you let me be patient? Would you please cause my heart to release this person from a debt I feel they owe me? Would you please, when they're ungracious to me, let me be gracious? Would you let me not keep an account of wrongs done to me? Could I be a beautiful woman and gracious? Lord, I'm not going to grab people by the throat because they owe me 50 cents when you have forgiven me untold amounts. I want to be this woman walking through the land of this excellent spirit because I'm in constant contact with you. I am totally assured all the time you are with me because I pray everywhere. And it's my joy to pray over. And then God begins speaking back to you and it becomes an incredible feast. Shut up to yourself. And we get whole inside. And we walk with a difference because the King walks. And we're not boastful. We're not proud. There's just something else. One time recently when I was in India, I felt like this very clear thought, put Vaseline on your feet. So I put Vaseline on my feet. And that morning, when we went to speak in this place in India, everybody, because the streets were so filthy and so much disease and people crowded in, it was very close to the slums, everybody would come in the back door and kick off their shoes at the back. Everybody. And then they would come and sit on the mats and they would sit on the floor. Of course, when we got there, we had to kick our shoes off too. So I had to preach to the congregation in bare feet. And they were like sitting eye level, like they were sitting right on the floor looking at my feet. And in India, feet are a very horrid thing. They're a despised part of the body, but especially a woman's feet. A woman's feet brings offense. In India, in their culture, even if a young bride reached out with her foot to touch her husband's leg with her foot, that's an insult. That's defiling. A woman's feet are considered defiling. And here's a mixed congregation, and I have to preach in my bare feet. And that morning I had put Vaseline on them. And it was like an anointing. Oh God, you say the feet are beautiful for those who bring your good news. But I didn't know that till the time before I got up. And I looked down and I know they feel shame about feet. But here's mine, we're all polished, so to speak. You know, the Lord speaks to us in the most amazing things. Because he never brings us to shame. His bride. He would never shame us. He will not shame you. He will bring us to wholeness and heal us and cover us and call us beautiful because we're his bride. And a woman of an excellent spirit, little by little, begins to know these things. And there is nothing more definitive than when a woman walks into the room who's well loved. A woman who is well-loved, she carries herself a different... There's a confidence, there's a self-assurance, there's an ability to look to others and not... She's not so needy that she has to siphon off other people for her self-esteem or assurance. There is something deep in her. And beloved, we are well-loved women, but we don't know it. We don't believe it. We don't live it, but we are well-loved women, and it is our privilege to enter in and to begin to show this nation what radiant women look like. That we begin to have this prayer life that is not so much how long and where and what position, and think that's holy prayer and the rest is, you know, no. It is praying everywhere. It's this constant communication. Are you lonely? Do you feel like you're not understood? We can be alone, but beloved, we've got to just learn in our loneliness to go to him and be transformed by the fact that he has chosen us. He's made us holy. He says everything, all that stuff in your spirit that's so heavy and is changing your countenance and weighing you down that you can't even hear anymore. You go to church and you don't hear a word. You read your Bible, you don't get a word. You get nothing goes in because your spirit, these spirits can be so clogged up with the pain and the hurt and the anger and the resentment that nothing is happening. And God says, no, when you walk with me, we're going to settle these things day by day. If you're honest, we will settle it. We'll go right to the bottom. We have to go all the way back to mother issues. If we have to go all the way back to rejection, if we have to do whatever, I've come to heal you and that you won't even remember it anymore. I've come to break the chains of your inheritance and the way you were brought up. I've come to so deliver you. I can send you back and you sin no more. I've come to make you so radiant. It doesn't matter what was done to you, how many times and what you face when you leave this place. I will be with you and I will transform you and I will make you a woman of an excellent spirit that all of Ireland know there's something about these women. Look at their faces. Look at the way they can love. Look at the way that they'll say, I'll do it. And it's their joy to serve. It doesn't, they're not defined by what they do or what label they have or what they're told that they do in the church. It's about this relationship with Christ who chose them and saved them and delivered them and is healing them and will talk to you moment by moment and transform us by his love. It's about that relationship, not about what we do. Our worth and our integrity is because he loves us and he's preparing a place for us, first in our heart, a place he can dwell with us and talk to us all the time, and we talk to him. And we become women of an excellent spirit because we finally get it. It's not what I do. Jesus, it's you know my name, you walk with me. And there is this prayer life that goes on that is transforming me into a woman of an excellent spirit. A spirit shaped by your spirit. And it all deals with honesty. It deals with, you know, it's that simple. Can we shrink a whole message into one word? Honest. Honest. We can be honest with him. You know, you can only be honest with the people you trust and whose opinion you really care about. If you don't care about someone's opinion, you don't really open up. You don't really care what they have to say if you don't trust them. And beloved, it doesn't matter. Tonight we're going to start with something so honest and so deep that so much of the church is blocked up because there has been abuse. Yes, there has. And in the anger and the unforgiveness and the plotting, you know, when she comes in this way, I go that way. That's not how we just, our face gets heavy and old. And we get bowed under because we were created for life. We were created to create, we were created to give life, to birth life. We were created for life. Do you want to see a radiant woman? A woman who, when she moves, she can have a word in season to women. She can worship the Lord. She can overlook a wrong. She doesn't take home grievances. She doesn't go through the door and feel a spirit come upon her that shuts her down. It's like, Lord, when I walk through this, it's going to be you and me, and it's got to be your spirit that pushes open that door and puts a new countenance on my face. But that's my inheritance. You love me. You're my husband. You well love me. It make the change now. Let me go home and let it start in my home where people go, oh my goodness, something is different. Now there'll be tough times, there'll be sad days, there will be this. Don't be condemned, but say, Lord, you are making me a woman of an excellent spirit. That's a woman of depth. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're in defeat if we're feeling deep emotions, but we know what to do with it. And we'll be transformed. We will. And how does revival come to this nation, one person at a time? It's not like we all meet in a church and all of a sudden, you know, something falls. No, when you go to church, you bring the Holy Spirit. You are church. You bring the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord comes and there's this movement. But if you're hungry for him, you can know revival tonight. If you want this change, if you want this deliverance, if you want to become a woman of an excellent spirit who knows this prayer life, it's not a prayer time, it's a prayer life. If you want to know this continuing living water and this is our guide, it's yours, it's mine tonight. I'm taking it tonight. I'm not going back the way I came. I will not. He will help me in the rough times. He will help me in my reluctance. He will help me in my resistance. But I'm believing God. He's not fed up with me. And he's not mad at me. And he's not discouraged with me. And he's not with you. Hallelujah. Because love bears all things. It believes all things. He's believing things for you. And you, can I tell you something? I had this apartment in New York and it was dreary and the furniture was well used. But I got this, I got it sparked. I would like to paint the walls this color and I would like to get a little bit furniture like this and this. And I kept saying to my husband, I know it looks terrible, but don't worry. It's going to change. And I just kept talking. It's going to change. It's going to change. And the plan was forming in my mind what this little apartment was going to look like. And I know that everybody would file in and they would just look and they would see everything so dreary. But when I would walk in, I saw the way it was going to be. I saw the colors on the wall and I saw the furniture and I saw this and I'm going to declutter over here and I'm going to get here. And it, you know, I saw it the way it was going to be. And when they would come in and go, this is a really miserable little apartment, I'd walk in and go, yeah, and the coat rack there, and a new lamp here. I'm still waiting on the new lamp. And do you know something? I saw it like it was going to be. When Christ looks at us tonight, why does he not give up on us or angry? He sees the way you're going to be. He has purchased not the furniture. He's purchased you with his blood. He sees what he's going to do in you. He's not discouraged. He looks into your heart and he sees what it's going to be. Don't give up on him tonight. He has never given up on you. He sees the changes that are coming. He says, I'm here. And one last thought. Revival comes to this nation one heart at a time. Is it your heart tonight? Is it your heart tonight? Is it, Lord, I hear your promise to be a woman of an excellent spirit, a woman who knows how to pray, not by the clock, something better, something way better, something that's living, something that I'm drawn to, something that becomes my life, something that I can't live without, that changes us. But revival, you know, may I say this? The enemy of revival is revival. The rival to revival is the beginnings of revival. Is when we like be brought to the point of revival. And it's like, yes, this, I think this is possible even for me. But then it stops. It's because Tuesday, these words seem very far away. Don't let it stop. It doesn't stop when you don't feel it anymore. The revival that the Lord starts tonight is it one that he says, you walk with me right to the end. You'll see. You'll see. If nobody else gets revived, you do. If nothing changes, you do. And it's a glorious change. And don't let the enemy of revival, just the beginnings, but no commitment. Oh God, when this doesn't make sense, or I don't feel it, or I've sinned and I fail, and it's got, have we started all over again? No, you haven't started all over again. You're actually dealing in honesty. It's like I'm having a bad Tuesday, but I can lift up a holy hand, praise God, because you've made it holy. Nothing changes, God. Your plan goes forward because you, oh God, have saved me. Your spirit is within me and it's challenging the darkness, and it's just I'm getting aware with it. Instead of cooperating with it, I'm challenging it. Oh yeah, there'll be bad Tuesdays, but God is faithful and God will bring you through and he will give you the breakthrough and me the breakthrough. Do not start revival, because you know what will happen is that you get hardened in your heart and you become cynical and you think, you know, yeah, I've seen that before, done that. No, you haven't. You just gave up. You just believed the lie. You just thought God wasn't able. You just thought the blood wasn't red enough. You just didn't believe all that he said he was. It's like you've tried it. We don't try Jesus. We don't try him. We say, God, open my heart and I'm going to see you do the miraculous. You are my deliverer. You are my salvation. And I'm going to rejoice in you. The work you start tonight, you will finish. And it doesn't matter what Tuesday's like, Lord, you are faithful. It doesn't matter what I feel Wednesday. The wall is coming down. It doesn't matter what Thursday's like. You promised me a new countenance in my home. You've promised me a new way to view people. You've promised me a prayer life that's clean, that you'll take out the anger and the resentment and the bitterness. That you will take down every stronghold the enemy has erected around my mind that keeps me from truly touching you and you me, because you say this is the only way it's done. So I go your way and you will know and I will know revival. Can I tell you, I'm knowing revival. Not that I'm anybody special. I tell you, I am not. Not. Just I got desperate enough. I got hungry enough. And I agreed I was barren. And I was Hannah. And I want life, because stuff doesn't do it for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't do it for you either. Hallelujah. So my sisters, this may be where we part tonight. He goes with you. And revival goes with you. His promises are sure. You open your heart up, he comes in. He breaks the strongholds. And you know something? You know why we battle so much? Is because we think by our good intentions they'll come down. No, when we're dealing with a stronghold, it's like Jericho. The only way those walls go down is a supernatural visitation. We can't make promises and we can't attempt to reform. It's not about that. It's so beyond our power. But the walls come down supernaturally. Tonight, God wants to visit us supernaturally and bring us into this place of Him where we are women of an excellent countenance and Ireland begins to feel the effect of our love and this new spirit. We're praying that God answers. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Now, beloved, you just begin. Anything that's in your heart, all that's there, all that's there, things that were being uncovered as the Lord was speaking tonight, I just want you to begin now, just in a quiet way, just in your own way. If you have to get alone, if you have to go to a corner, it doesn't matter. Deal with it. The Lord is present now to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us. Deal with it now, my sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just break the unbelief in Jesus' name. I would like to pray for all those who have been victims of sexual abuse and spiritual abuse. Lord, your eyes see all. And you know who's here tonight. And Lord, I thank you that you say to that woman, where are your accusers? That there are no more. That those that have stood around in a hostile circle are no more. That Jesus, you have inserted yourself between them and your precious bride. And that, Lord, you will not allow unjust accusations. You will not allow the abuse, the hostility. Lord, spirits of religion and spirits, Lord, of intimidation. And all, Lord, the anger that results, Lord, and the rebellion, all that has come from this kind of abuse. I thank you, Lord, tonight that you say that everyone who has known this is free in the name of Jesus. We receive your word where you say it, we are free. Thank you, Lord. Healing now for those that still have memories from abuse and that, Lord, have carried an anger, Lord, and it has separated you. And, Lord, that they have tried to get in touch, but God have not understood what is going on. And I thank you tonight, oh God, that you're going to release them, Lord, and they are going to pray prayers of forgiveness and a healing water will flow. And I thank you, Lord, that the memories, Lord, and the sting and the anger, oh God, that you alone can touch. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, that you would go behind every closed door, every prison door, every wall, every fortress, oh God, that the enemy has sealed them shut in, Lord. And I thank you, you've come to yank those doors open and to flood it with your light. Thank you for the healing now, oh God. Thank you that the voices will stop. Thank you, oh God, the memories will cease in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, we've been given this spiritual authority, oh God, who women who are under authority can take authority, oh God, because we believe you, Lord Jesus. We believe your word where you say that you have come to silence the accusers and force them by your word and force them by your presence to drop the stones of accusation, oh God, and to free the spirits, Lord, of anger and the wanting of revenge, oh God. I thank you now for clean spirits, oh God, for lightened spirits, that women who can walk, oh God, not bruised through this world, oh God, but full of forgiveness, full of power, full of integrity, full of dignity, full of a self-worth that comes, Lord, because your hand has touched them, oh God, and freed them, Lord. I pray that they be special ambassadors in this nation.
that they would recognize those others of abuse. And that, Lord, they will have a healing word. It will be the word of Jesus in his same presence. Thank you. You're bringing a healing in this land, oh God, for women who've known these heavy-handed taxes, who have known this defiling touch, who have known a hand, Lord, that has laid heavily upon them and misshapen them. Oh Jesus, I thank you, oh God, that whether it was through parents or school systems or whatever it was, oh God, that, Lord, you understand the whole situation. And I thank you, Lord, we're not going to be women of twisted minds and twisted words. We're not going to have a fountain of resentment and bitterness flowing out, trying to mask it, oh God, and trying to pretend that other than anger is there. But God, people will know you're alive when you've cleansed of the anger and cleansed of the resentment and the bitterness, oh God. And out of their mouths, oh God, come sweet words of praise to God and glorifying him for the deliverance in their spirit, that they're going to be able to pray prayers of deliverance for this nation and pray prayers for those that have abused. Pray prayers, oh God, where they can say, God, forgive me. I return sinning no more, only in your spirit, only by your grace, but it is enough. Oh God, I thank you. You're flowing and delivering tonight for all those victims, oh God, and your cleansing of the anger in the spirit, oh God. I thank you. Women are going to raise hands all over this place, oh God, free to praise you, oh God, and to worship you. Thank you, Lord. You are bringing deliverance to this land. And Lord, you've chosen tonight to bring it to the women, these precious women, oh God. Thank you now. We will be women of excellent spirit. Women whose spirits are nourished by the Holy Spirit, a free-flowing fountain. Every day, Lord, every day in connection with you, every day cleansed by you, every day the burden lifted, every day communication, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you don't despise a poor prayer. You don't despise when we don't even know what to say. You don't despise, Lord, when sometimes we feel bound. You just know that a heart reaching towards you, moving towards you, you meet, oh God, and you come with delivering power. Thank you. You don't judge us, Lord, by any other record than by the heart. And you see tonight there are hearts, oh God, moving towards you, and you've come in deliverance. Oh God, let this blessing now rest upon them. I thank you. It's a blessing cannot be taken. It's a blessing that cannot be robbed from them. For whom the sun sets free is free indeed. And there is freedom tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now I pray, oh God, that you would put an anointing of deliverance on the captives who have been freed. Put an anointing upon them to pray prayers of deliverance, to have a word of wisdom and knowledge, that they would speak right to the strongholds of other women captive with sexual abuse and spiritual abuse. And they will say, Jesus set me free, and Jesus will set you free. And God, you are mighty. Freedom will sweep this land. Your name is enough. Your blood is enough, oh God. You will prove yourself more than a deliverer. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we are being an army released in the mighty name of Jesus, cleansed by the blood. And what you have called clean, no man can call common. What you have declared clean is clean, oh God. And we rejoice in that tonight. Now, God, let women pray mighty prayers, oh God, moved by the Spirit, moved by compassion, moved because of their freedom. Oh God, let take the shame away and take the guilt away, oh God. And thank you that we can go a word to us and sin no more, that unbelief and fear will not grip us and keep us silent any longer, but that we will move in this freedom, cleansed and extending a hand, oh God, of freedom and kindness and compassion. Oh God, I thank you for this anointing. I thank you, God, you're settling even now on women, Lord, with this new anointing and this new prayer life, Lord. Oh, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Lord, we just want to thank you now. No more need to be said than thank you. We honor you by believing this word. We honor you by receiving it. Lord, we'll see the fruit soon enough. We've experienced it now. I pray now, Lord, for revival, Lord, that lasts. I pray for women of an excellent countenance. I pray that women all their days will be known as women of another spirit. I pray there'll be women totally delivered from the resentment of family work and too much expected and too little support. I pray deliverance from their spirit. I pray they be no longer bound and tight, but they would become free women, able to freely serve, oh God, with the heart of Mary, the hands of Martha, for the glory of God, that they, oh God, will be able to rise in their generation free, able to love like they've never been loved. Those that were never given love, those that were never mothered, those that were never nurtured, oh God, you will be that to us, oh God. You will be that fountain of health, oh God. I thank you, Lord. We don't need a man. We don't need this now. You will come in all your beauty. Oh, you will do it, Jesus. For when we need you the most, Lord, you don't run away. No, you go to deeper than any depth of pain we've ever known, any loneliness, any lack. You've gone deeper still, oh God. And you've come with your blood. You've come with your love. You've come with your light. And we receive it, oh God. We receive it, oh God. Break off the religious spirits, Lord. Break off the religious spirits. Let us move in honesty, Lord. Let us move in honesty, Lord. Break the religious spirit, oh God. Break it, oh God. This nation needs to see women. This women alive, God. Honest. Lord, with all that comes, a sensitivity, Lord. Freedom speaks for itself. Oh, people know freedom when they meet freedom. Oh God, let our middle names be freedom. Let them meet freedom when they meet us. Oh, let them know it's true. Oh, I thank you tonight. You are here, Lord, and we are free. You are here, and we are free. Every stone dropped in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We say thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just thank him, beloved. Just thank him.